This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
During the week, Senator Pauline Hanson made some comments about young children in our schools with autism and disability. And her comments were actually fairly provocative. They caused a fairly uniform response right across our society in all segments. And everything that I've read, including my personal social media, well, you'd expect my personal media pages to be
Fairly biased. Mine were absolute. Well, yes, but, you know, mine were heartfelt.
Oh, yes, as were mine. And as has been the media coverage. So if you look at all the mainstream press, even The Conversation this morning had a fairly detailed piece that really tried to present the evidence around including children with disabilities in our school system and what that means for both those children and teachers and other children.
And other children.
And
absolutely.
I think it's I think that the general consensus is that it is the best way to go. So on the line we've got Tricia Maloney, who's clearly a disability advocate, somebody who's been around in this space for quite a long time. And she herself has experienced disability and is the product of mainstream education. Good morning, Tricia.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Great to have you on the waves this morning.
Thank you.
So, Tricia, as we kick into this discussion this morning, tell us a little bit about your personal experience. You grew up in Melbourne, I presume, in the suburbs of Melbourne?
I did. Born in Footscray.
Oh,
moved to...
as was I.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm a Yarraville girl. Originally.
So am I.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, a Yarraville boy, actually.
Well, sort of the same sort of thing, isn't it? But we moved to Mitcham when I was six, and Mum and Dad moved out there because in those days it was like moving to Doreen. It was a new suburb because I'm 63.
I know Mitcham very well because my partner comes from Mitcham.
Oh, see? Well, there's all these connections.
It's astonishing.
Yeah. So Mum and Dad moved out there because it was on a train line and it would have been easier to get into the city for me with all my appointments with the children. So I had polio when I was 4 months old and I didn't know I had a disability. Right, I wore calipers and the whole kit and caboodle, but I was just another child at school. It was only later that I discovered that my parents had actually had to fight for that.
Wow.
So I'm one of 10 children. I'm the second of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
You needed to move to Mitcham to get a big house.
Absolutely. And can I tell you that, you know, the story is that Mum was told to put me in a home, go away and have more children. And she only heard the second part. She's the first part, apparently. So it was just... you know, my mother's the sort of person, nobody tells me what to do with my child. So I was lucky that I had a strong mum and dad. My dad's the same. And I've asked her, how come at a time when everybody else went to schools like Yarralla, if they had polio, how come I went to a mainstream school? And Mum just said to me, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that that wasn't what was needed. So it was. I was the only person I knew with a disability other than one of Mum's friends had a child who had polio and they lived in Maui. And that was it. Because if you think back, we didn't see people with disabilities. We didn't see people. Well, we couldn't go anywhere because we couldn't get into anything anyway.
Yes.
But really, we've come a long way, but we've got an awful long way to go. So I went to mainstream schools. I went to the same schools as my peers. I went to Mater Christi in Belgrave because that was the cheapest, closest Catholic school for girls. And that meant getting up at 7 o'clock and walking to the station, and because we didn't have a car, and then catching the train up to Belgrave from Mitcham and Jeez. Home again at night.
Jeez.
And the rest of my family went to Aquinas in Ringwood. And somebody said to me, oh, did you go to Mater Christi because you had a disability? And I said, no, I went to Mater Christi because the girls' part wasn't built until my next sister came along.
So it's just practical reasons.
Absolutely. It's just... It was got nothing to do with that. And in fact, I was the more disadvantaged.
So your disability had absolutely nothing to do with the choice of school or the education that you had.
Absolutely.
And you were treated like every other child, I presume.
But it is amazing, isn't it, Tris Bronwyn here? But, yep. You know, when we were closing Kew Cottages a few years ago, a number of the parents said that when they had their child, the doctors advised them, just, you know, pretend you haven't had this child. Just get it taken away and, you know, the state will look after it. And Absolutely. The pressure on them was so, you know, your parents were enormously courageous and, you know, it's just fantastic.
And can I tell you that, I mean, I work in the sector now and a lot of the disabilities that are faced by people who are in Kew Cottages is not the original disability. It's the institutionalisation.
I'm sure you're right. Mm. Yes.
That has caused more. And you know what it was like, Bronwyn. You
I
know,
do.
With the closure.
Oh, it was just absolutely. Well, it was heart wrenching, the whole thing.
People didn't know they had families.
Yeah.
Cottages. They didn't know they had a brother.
I know. And of course, you're right. The families had become institutionalised as well. So the families actually fought the closure because they were frightened about their children. This is one of the poor outcomes of Pauline Hanson's comments too,
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, a lot of parents with children with special needs themselves are worried that their child will struggle or they'll be bullied or all of
Absolutely.
That sort of stuff. So it goes both ways, doesn't it?
It does. And I work a lot with parents and you know, it's amazing that the fear of the parents because of the misinformation that they're given.
Mm.
And I've been involved too with some of the Calanda and the all of the other institutions, and you just see it. And
yeah.
I've got a really positive story about closures, though. Mm. The Oakley Centre.
Yep.
And I don't know if people have
I've
been
got a friend who's on the board, actually,
there
so
I
know a little bit about it. Yes.
Which is now OC Connections.
Yes.
And they've closed it.
Mm.
They've closed their institution. And there's three videos up on their website at the moment which talk about the closure and how they've transferred people into houses in real streets, in real houses, and have had street parties to introduce them to the neighbours. The neighbours have been supportive. Because you always get this, oh, my God, what are we going to do if we've got people with disabilities in the street? You know, are they going to be disruptive? They're going to... Well, actually, they're less disruptive, actually, because they're just living, they're so happy to be living a life.
Mm.
To go back to the Pauline Hanson stuff, though.
Let's hold that for a second, Tricia, because
yes.
we need to take a very short break, and let's come back after the break. And our guest this morning is Tricia Maloney, who's a disability advocate. And we're now going to launch into a discussion about Pauline Hanson's comments during the week. Senator Pauline Hanson, who, of course, has been on our show once before and probably not again, I'd say. Anyway, Tricia, are you there?
I am.
Excellent. So what Pauline Hanson said during the week was that she believed that having children with disability in schools, in mainstream schools, now I'm paraphrasing here, was essentially burdensome on teachers and on other children. And it meant that other children were missing out on educational opportunities because of the the demand that they required of their teachers. Is that your understanding of what she said?
So it was a throwaway line, actually. She talked about autism and needing... Yeah, so the gist of it is right. It was in a general discussion about how we're making sooks of kids, and I'm paraphrasing too, because we've got to praise them all the time, and we're making it hard for them to grow up to be positive adults. And then she just threw in this thing that having kids with autism and disabilities in the classroom makes it harder on the teachers, and it makes it harder on everybody else, and that this is what teachers are telling her, and that this is what parents are telling her.
And the truth is that there would be some teachers and parents who would say that, of course.
Absolutely, and they're probably those whose children are bullies. But anyway, you didn't hear me say that. But the problem is that I actually believe that she said it with a purpose. Because if you look at media reports of Pauline Hanson recently, she hasn't been in the media much. And if you notice what she does is, if she wants to be in the media, she says something that's really outrageous. Mm. Because, as you know, the LGBTI community, refugees, Muslims, feminists, we've all taken a hit from her at various times. So this is just the latest. And I really think that she has a lot of support from what I call the haters. And you both talked about how mostly it's been really positive. A friend of mine has written an article in The Australian, so Professor Anne Kavanagh.
Oh, yes.
From Melbourne University. She has a son who has severe and profound autism, and he has an intellectual disability, and she's written an article about that. And it's entitled, if anybody wants to have a look, at Segregating the Disabled is Unacceptable. Well, so that's the heading, and it's got quite a good cartoon of Pauline on it. But in that, she talks about the difficulties that she had in trying to find a place for her son in this world. He has to travel to a special school in a special bus. You know, remember the old blue bus days? So he has to go 90 minutes each day. He hates it, but it's the only place that she could find a school that would accept him. And they tried integration, but it didn't work because the school didn't have the skills or resources. Now, it's a good school which is working well with her son. But when it was got up, you know, it was an online article, The Australian had to take the comments part down because of the hateful comments that she got.
Seriously?
Yes, and I'm not, you know, I think you're absolutely right, Tricia. I think you've this business of tapping into the haters, I think, is there are a group of people out there in our community that genuinely believe that their freedom of speech has been curtailed,
absolutely,
that they're not allowed to have alternative views to the, quote, sort of progressive. So if they're conservative on the issue of the environment or gay marriage, or, you know, they think that feminism has, quote, gone too far, they all feel that somehow this is a personal attack. I have a sense, and not a sympathy, but I do understand where this is coming from, because I think there are some people who become so ideologically driven with some issues that they won't countenance or allow people to express anything counter, and, you know, that can be a problem. Yeah, so I think she's tapping into this, and you're right. I was just, as you were speaking, trying to recall the last thing that she said that was, you know, she got pilloried for, but got her in the media again. And
absolutely.
And I agree. I think,
well, that's a very
it's a very
interesting argument. It's a very interesting argument that in a sense what you're saying is that she picks issues that actually get her media coverage, and she's not really concerned about what the issue is. That's not the point. The point is that she just wants to get her face in the media.
Because I had a look at her Twitter account, and the previous one was that politicians shouldn't accept their pay rise. Well, that's not controversial.
No,
everybody
not
agrees
really.
With that.
Yeah.
So that didn't get any traction at all.
I was trying to remember the Western Australian one though, where that actually damaged them in the Western Australian election, and I couldn't recall that one. But you know, I think I think the other thing too is she appeals to people who have a very unsophisticated individualistic yep. kind of analysis. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that she fails to understand is that, you know, having kids in an inclusive environment is obviously beneficial for children with autism or with disabilities, but it's also enormously beneficial for everyone because we don't live in a world where everybody's the same. And, no. The more that we can promote genuine encounters with difference, the better off we are as a community. I mean, we know this is a problem when you try and sort of segregate people on racial or religious
absolutely.
Grounds.
And accept it then.
No, absolutely. Because we know it's damaging, because everybody, who has an encounter or has a neighbour that's Islamic or something like that will say, look, my neighbours are, Muslims
right.
and they're fantastic people. So,
right.
The people in my street, the house in my street for disabled people is great. So, all of this inclusion just builds tolerance and social harmony and, in a sense, fireproofs us or provides an insurance
absolutely.
Against the very things that we fear.
But how damaging are these comments of Pauline Hanson's, really?
Well, they've been quite damaging to the families of people with disabilities.
Yes, yeah. of course.
They're very damaging to individuals, but
absolutely.
They're damaging to our social fabric because
absolutely.
They give a voice to
hatred.
To hatred,
yeah,
and that's what leadership is all about, is providing a voice that people go, aha, yeah, that's a good idea, I'm going to follow that, instead
yeah.
of, kind of picking up on a kernel of prejudice or nastiness and kind of sticking a match in it and a fuel, a lighter and throwing lighter fluid on it. That's what she does.
Absolutely.
We've heard
there's
from
a good article in the conversation today, which is Pauline Hanson is wrong. We need to include children with disabilities in regular classrooms. And
I've read that, yes.
Yeah,
it's a great piece.
Yeah, and that's the research and the reality. But the other reality is that we don't have an acceptance, a real acceptance of people with disabilities in employment, in education, in housing. It's really, really hard. I've just got back from overseas where I did some research in Ireland a couple of years ago, and this time I went overseas as a holiday. And I actually went back to the Irish Disability Authority over there, and they had it's called the Grand Universal Design Challenge, where they challenge university students to come up with good ideas for access for people with disabilities and then award prizes. And they've got industry on side. I'd love to see that here.
Sounds like a great idea. Tricia, unfortunately, we've run out of time this morning, but it's been great having you on air.
Okay.
One of our listeners has written to us, the lovely Melina Smith, and said perhaps Pauline Hanson is just an oxygen thief, LOL.
Yeah.
That's a great note to leave this conversation on. Thank
you
very much.
It has been great, and congratulations, Tricia, to you and to all the other people who just don't take this lying down.
Absolutely.
And it's been a marvellous example of how not just people who've got family members with disabilities, but all fair-minded people in the community have gone, no, you are wrong, Pauline, and just bug off. You don't speak for me.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.